This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thanks for staying with us here on The Morning Run. You're with Lin Mark, Julian Ng and Wang Xiaoning. Hong Kong is reeling from the latest series of violent protests that took place over the weekend. Last Friday, Hong Kong Chief Executive Carrie Lam invoked emergency powers for the first time in more than half a century in order to ban face masks at public gatherings.
Yes, I think the protesters remain undaunted by this ban. They say that they will continue to wear face masks, and you can see the photos all over the internet that face masks are still being used very widespread. And also in the past week, we've seen alarming escalation of violence in Hong Kong. Radical splinter protesters has been on a rampage, vandalizing mainland China-linked properties, setting fires, targeting police, and noticeably bigger petrol bombs.
Meanwhile, the police have gotten even more heavy-handed in their response, and two protesters have been reportedly shot by live ammunition by police forces.
So for a sense of the situation on the ground, we have on the line with us this morning Mabel, who is a freelance writer and teacher residing in Hong Kong. Thank you for joining us, Mabel. So let us give us a bit of insight here. What is the mood like in the city?
Well, good morning, everyone. Yes, it's very, very tense here. However, we, I guess, normal citizens try to get on with life the best we can. Yes, it is very tense here, the mood.
And given the escalating violence that we're seeing in the protests, where do you think the support is with right now? Is it with the protesters, or do people now want this demonstrations and protests to sort of calm down a little bit?
Definitely, the majority of Hong Kong people are on this are on the side of the protesters. If not in action, definitely in our hearts. And yes, it's been escalating, but we go on life with a sense of understanding. We are not. A lot of us aren't really at the front, the very front line of the protesting. However, a lot of us are in support of them deep down in our heart. So we are getting on our lives with the full understanding that there will be inconvenience, and there will be a bit of disturbance. And yes, we are in support of them. A lot of us are in support of them.
And Mabel, how would you describe the typical protester, if there is one?
There are different kinds. May not be the right word, but yes, you probably see in photos that there'll be the ones who are supposedly doing the most damage would be in full black, wearing full black from top to bottom, from head to toe. And they would typically, I'm talking about those ones, they'll be typically be wearing masks. And that is in prevention of the tear gas that they'd be facing. And that would be the most frontline protesters. And they're the second group, I suppose, would be most of us are really wearing black in support of them. And we're not really frontline protesters, so we don't really wear those heavy masks. But a lot of us are still wearing masks as we go on the street, protesting or not protesting, normal daily life. You'll definitely see people wearing masks around the city, nonetheless.
So, Mabel, I mean, what is your sense of how long these protests are going to last, and what do you think is the end game that protesters are going for here?
That is a question I think probably not anyone would be able to answer, because it's been going on for over 100 days now, and I personally am very, very surprised for how long this has lasted. And But the longer we go on, I feel that the more we cannot back down. And we are the end game would be probably a few more demands being agreed upon by Carrie Lam, and I think at the very, very least is to set up an independent investigation like a group or committee. So that I think would be the very, very least. But that is where the hardest knot to be untied. Yes, we are very, it's been 100 days, so things have evolved, and a lot of us are very, very angry about how the police is handling the whole situation. So, yes.
Thank you very much, Mabel. And that was Mabel, a freelance writer and teacher residing in Hong Kong. And I mean, this violence has left Carrie Lam and her backers in Beijing with a very difficult choice, right? And it's either you have to take drastic steps that could further erode Hong Kong's autonomy and prompt an international backlash, or you come up with a compromise that could essentially leave egg on your face. But it's interesting to hear from Mabel that the majority, or at least her sense is that the majority of Hong Kong populace actually is on the side of protesters, if not actually actively in the streets with them.
Yeah, I think they genuinely feel that there is some degree of violation about the basic law that was implemented when Hong Kong was handed over by the British to China. And some of this include democratic rights to directly elect their leaders, and that's not happening at this point in time. So there is this lingering fear that China would gradually reduce human rights, democratic rights. But I must say that the Chinese authorities have also been showing quite a bit of restraint in not going crazy in how they control the crowds. So maybe there is that. Kudos to the authorities over there. There is this other angle that I read that the protests could be something that is engineered by the US to go against China, right? Because all this talk about democracy will not happen. And Hong Kong as a financial center, as a result of these protests, as we know it, that would end. That would totally fizzle out because of this protest.
Well, I mean, when you look at the reasons why people are unhappy, one, of course, is the basic law, right? And they need that. It's been enshrined in the separation agreement that will last till 2047, right? When China officially takes over Hong Kong. But against that, there's also this sense, especially among the youth in Hong Kong, which have been the large number of protesters, that life has actually become very difficult. The cost of living pressure is very high. Housing is very high. There's very little public housing in Hong Kong, surprisingly. And the wealth of a few households are as much as 20% of Hong Kong's GDP, right? I mean, five landowners control more than 80% of the free land available for development. So that has created a lot of unhappiness. Now, how this thing will be resolved is the big question, because as it gets longer and as Mabel says, it's in its hundreds of days, how do you resolve it then?
Yeah, and I think there was a lot of discussion over, you know, back before August, whether or not the protests would fizzle out as the youth went back to schools and universities. That clearly hasn't happened. So perhaps it is that the protests have a lot more staying power than any of us have previously anticipated. Right now, though, we are heading into a few messages for you, and then we'll be back with some local stories. So be sure to stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.